Today's shir is a Masechta Ksubas on Daf Tzadik Beis. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis, 19 lines from the bottom of the Amud, with the last word on the line, Hahu. We are continuing the simon that was given in yesterday's shir. If you look at the top of our Amud, the second line, simon Aleph Umei Amitzvah. We did the first two cases of that simon, Aleph and May in yesterday's shir. And now we begin the third of the signs of this acronym, which refers to the word mitzvah. We are going to have in our case that we're going to discuss now the word mitzvah referring to mitzvah l'kayim, mitzvah ala yisoymim, l'froya chayv avin, that there's a mitzvah on the yisoymim to pay the debt of their father. And the reason we're bringing in this case is because in yesterday's shir, we ended with a case concerning a small field, a ara ketina, ketina de ara, and so too in this case, we're going to be discussing ketina de ara, a small piece of field. Begins the Gemara. Ahu gavra, there was this man, davin maskebe meyazuzi, that he owed the malva, he owed his balchov, the debtor, he owed 100 zuz. Shachiv, he died. Shava ketina da'aro. Da'aveshav yechamshin zuzi. He left over a small field that was worth 50 zuz. And the field of Yisoymim is meshubed. There is a lien on the field that they inherit from their father. If their father owed a chov, then their field that they receive in Yerushin, inheritance, is owed for that chov. So also balchov, the malva came, the lender came, the katorif lay, and he wanted to grab that field, which he had a lien on because of the debt that the father owed him. Ozel yasmi, the orphans went, the yisraimim went, yovel lechamshin zuzay. So they gave him 50 zuz, and they didn't say why they were giving him the 50 zuz. Could be that they were saying, we'll make a compromise with you. The debt of our father was 100, we'll give you 50. Hadir katarif la, after they had paid the initial 50, he went and he wanted to grab the field again to get the value of the other 50. The field after all was worth 50. Asla kamed abaya, they came to abaya, and they were asking Ashila, do they in fact have to give him the field, which they had already given once, and they had to redeem it by paying 50. Do they have to give it again? Amar lahen. So Abaya said to them, mitzvah al yisoyim l'froy chayv avin. And here is the word mitzvah from the simon. There's a mitzvah on the yisoyim to pay the chov of their father. In other words, the karka is meshubet. There's a lien. There it's not a mitzvah. There we can force them. The bal chov can come and say, your father owes me money, and I have a lien on your property, and he could force them to give him the property. However, if the father left over movable things, metaltlin, or money, we cannot force the Yisoymim to pay this, but there is a mitzvah for them to pay. Rashi, in Divrei HaMaskil, Mitzvah Yisoymim L'Froy, explains, why do the Yisoyim have to pay? Mishum kavod aviyim. This is an honor of their father. They are paying his debts. But Bezdin, Rashi says, cannot force them to pay. And Rashi explains, because this is not a mitzvah that's mefurish in the Torah, like sukkah or lulav. It's a mitzvah bi'alma derabbanan. And apparently Rashi is saying that on a mitzvah derabbanan, Bezdin cannot force. Tosfos before on daf pei vav amud aleph disagrees. The last line of Tosfos there, in Divrei HaMaskil Prius Balchov Mitzvah, says Tosfos, Ve'ein Nira, I don't agree with Rashi. The Ashkechon de Kaifim b'mitzvahs de Rabbanan. We do find that Bezdin can force someone, even though it's only a mitzvah de Rabbanan. Not only on a mitzvah de Raisa can Bezdin force, but even a mitzvah de Rabbanan. Kugon, as we find, Mitzvah L'Kaim Divrei HaMeis. There's a mitzvah to fulfill what the Meis has instructed. And the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Mem tells us the Kaifim is a Yarshim. We can force, Bezin can force the Yarshim, those who inherit the children, to fulfill the words of the Meis. So we do find by a mitzvah de Rabbanan that Bezin can force. And therefore, Tosfos, four lines up, says the reason why Beis Din can't force, because since the whole reason for the mitzvah of to pay the debt of the father is an inyan, as Rashi says, of kibbut aveim, and kibbut aveim is a mitzvah which is matan schar betzida. The Torah tells us a reward for doing the mitzvah right after it states the mitzvah, leman yarichin yamecha, that you should have long life, and we have a rule that any mitzvah which has a reward written right next to it, ein bezin shomata musharin alav, the Beis Din down here on earth is not busy with that mitzvah. They do not force on such a mitzvah, and that is the reason why we are not kaifa for this mitzvah. Getting back to our Gemara here with Abaya, so Abaya said to the Yosayimim, when you took the money and you didn't specify why you're giving the money, and you gave it to the Baal Chayiv, so you in fact were fulfilling the mitzvah which Beis Din can't force you on, but you willingly were giving over that money to the Baal Chayiv to fulfill half of your obligation of your father's chov. And now that you have fulfilled that mitzvah, honey, kamoi mitzvah viditu. The first 50, you fulfilled the mitzvah. You weren't forced to, but you did a mitzvah. You did something good in honor of your father. Hashda ki tarif bedin katarif. Now you still have the karka. And this is a karka, this is ground that you received biyerusha from your father. And on that karka, there is a shibud, there's a lien. So now the Baal Chov, rightfully so, according to the din, can collect his remaining 50 zuz from the lien that he has as a result of the lien that he has on the property. And therefore, what the Baal Chov did is correct. You have to give him the karka, and in that way, you have taken care of the entire 100 zuz that your father owed. Continues the Gemara, v'lo yamorin, and we do not say that this is the psak that the Yisom have to give up the karka for the remaining 50 zuz. Only the loy amru lehani chamishin zuzi demei da arketina. If they did not use the following words, they didn't say that these 50 zuz are the value of this small piece of land. They just gave it plain without saying anything. Aval omrulei. But if they said to the Baal Chov, here's 50 zuz, hani chamishi zuzi demei arkatina, that these 50 zuz are the value of this small piece of earth, then saluki salkua, then in fact they have removed the Baal Chov from his lien, and he can no longer take that piece of property to fulfill the remaining 50 zuz. And the reason is, as Rashi explains, because then they're not paying it as the chov, but rather you have collected the karka originally for 50 zuz of our father's chov. Here is 50 zuz, we're going to buy the field back from you. And once we have bought the field back from you, you do not have a lien on it anymore. If Yisomim buy their own property, which didn't have a lien on that property, the Baal Chayiv cannot come and collect. So what we have in actuality done is to buy the field back from you, and on that purchase, there is no lien. So then they have outsmarted the Baal Chayiv. They may have a mitzvah to pay up their father's chov in other ways, but they're not mechuyev to, as we explained before, Beis Din, for whatever reason, Rashi's reason, Tosfos' reason, say that you cannot be kofa, so we can't force them. And they have gotten rid of the lien that was on the field by purchasing it back from the Baal Chov, and now they can keep the field. And now we begin the fourth word in the siman above, biksuba. We're going to have a discussion of someone selling his mother's ksuba. Hahu gavra, there was this man, the zovna l'ksubasa de'ime, that he sold the ksuba of his mother, betoivas hano. In order to simplify the sugi, we will learn it with Rashi together. Rashi divri amaschal, the zovna l'ksubasa de'ime, shahoysa nesu'l acher. Rashi says that his mother was married to someone else, not to his father. His father had died, and she had remarried to someone else. Why Rashi had to say the case is speaking about that she was married to someone else, we will see in a few moments. And he sold her ksuba, in other words, he sold his rights to his mother's ksuba while her husband was alive. And he sold it betoivas hanoah. Now the term toivas hanoah is usually used when someone has the ability to give chala or truma to the kohen that he desires, that value of his ability to choose the kohen, one kohen over the other, has a certain value throughout Shas, and that's how the term Toivas Hanoah is usually used. Here, it borrows from that term to mean that he sold it very cheap, and we'll soon see why he sold it so cheap. Bedovermu, it says Rashi, Mibnei Shehu Suffix. So Rashi explains, because it's a big suffix whether the Lekeach will ever get to see the ksuba of this person's mother. Why? Shema Thomas Virshanabala. Number one, says Rashi, maybe she'll die first and the husband, her present husband, will inherit from her. Even if the husband will die first while she's alive, she'll outlive the husband, but Shema Yomas HaBen B'chayeh. Maybe the son will die before the mother. That's also possible. V'leitavi aschus liyodai. He'll never get the chance to get his mother's ksuba. V'ein l'lekeh b'klum. And the person who's buying it now will never see the ksuba. That's why he's selling it so cheap. That's why he's selling it b'tai v'sanah. And then Rashi concludes, the loy hoyezesh luchai. This was not his shliach. The Rishash says that these words of Rashi are not to be understood, unless, says the Rishash, we're goris, not shlucho, but shlucho. The loy hoyezesh luchai. The son in this case was not acting as a shliach of the mother. He wasn't selling it on her behalf. Rather, he was selling his rights to the ksuba, should he yarshin his mother, and as Rashi has explained, there are many sveikas, maybe he'll never yarshin his mother. Maybe the mother will die before the father, maybe even if the mother dies after the father, the son will die before the mother. So he's actually selling something that's loibol oilam. He's selling something which he has not yet been zocha to. As Rashi will bring further, einat amakna dover shaloi zocha boy. So really, we have to see here how the whole mechira of the ksuba, of his right to the ksuba works, if the son hasn't even inherited it. We will get into that as well in a few moments. But now perhaps we can already understand why Rashi had to say that it's speaking about that she was married to someone else. The Marsha wants to explain, and the Baram Shif, because if she was married to the father of this boy who was selling his right to his mother's ksuba, so then why did he sell it so cheap? Why did he sell it only b'toivas hanoah? He could have sold it for more, because even, what did Rashi say? There's a suffix that maybe the mother would die before the husband, but then the son would yarshin it as a Yerusha from his father, as we've learned through the Masechta, because of Ksubas Binyan Dichrin, which we've learned was a takana, that the grandfather should give a lot of dowry to his daughter, the mother of this boy, so that he feels secure that if the mother should die, the Yerusha that the son would get from the father would be that initial great dowry, and other children from other wives would not take part in it. So if it's speaking about that she was married to the actual father of this boy, then he could have sold it for more because he would get it, but Yerusha, even if his mother would die first before the father. And Rashi says, and the Gemara says, it's speaking about Toivas Hanoah. He's selling it cheap. So that's why Rashi learned that it's speaking about that she was married to somebody else. So he would not anymore, the son would not get it through Ksubas Binyan Dichrin. He would only get it through the regular Ksuba that his mother is entitled to, from her husband, and therefore he had to sell it very cheap. However, the Rush brings down a girsa of Rashi, that Rashi says it's not speaking about another husband, it is speaking about his father, and then we will have to explain that the pshat is that he sold it cheap because he was selling the loikeach, not the ksuba that he would get for binyan dichrin, but he was selling the loikeach, only the ksuba that he would get should his mother outlive his father, the actual 200 of the ksuba. He specified that he would not be selling him the ksubas binyan dichrin. And that's why, since there are so many sveikas, as Rashi explained, whether he would actually wind up yarshening, whether he would wind up receiving that regular ksuba, that's why he sold it so cheap. Now, let us continue in the Gemara. Hahu gavad zav na ksuba sadiime, betarvis hanov, v'omar lei, he said to the lekeach, I isya, aim, if my mother will come, uma'ara, and she will protest this sale, loy mefatzilach, I won't save it for you. The word mefatzina means I won't save it for you. In other words, Rashi, let's go to Rashi. I'm not going to save you the karka that is meshubit for the ksuba, and even the tovus hanoa money that you paid me, that small amount of money, I'm not going to refund it to you. So if the mother protests, you're out of everything. You're out of the karka and you're out of the money. Now what happened, continues the Gemara, Shechiva ime, so his mother died, v'loy ira, and she had not protested the sale. So we would think that the sale would go through, and now the lekeach would be able to get the ksuba from the son. And what happened? V'ase iyu, the son, the moicher, came, v'komar, and he was ma'arer. Let us see Rashi. I'm instead of my mother, Vetlena. I will take it. I will take the karka, as my mother could have done. I'm standing in her stead. I don't even have to give you back the money. Why? Is severe. You accepted this whole deal that you would not get refunded if you would have to give up the karka. So what my mother could have done, I'm doing in her stead, and I don't even have to pay you the money. That was the question. And that's why we bring this whole case over here, because just like we had in yesterday's shir, a machlokes between Rami Bar Chama and Rava, here too there was a machlokes between Rami Bar Chama and Rava. Rami Bar Chama was of the opinion, continues the Gemara, iyu b'makim imekoi, that he is able to come instead of his mother. And he can protest. And then the sale goes back and he gets the karka back, as it would have been had his mother been alive and she would have protested. And since it's Shloi Bachrayis, he doesn't have to pay even the Toivus HaNoah to the Loikech. That was the opinion of Rami Bar Chama. Amrle Rava, to this Rava said, Nehei Dachrayis Dido Loikibule, you're right. He was not Mekabel, the son was, the Moicher was not Mekabel, should his mother protest. Then in the Chanami, the Lekech would have had to give up the field, and he wouldn't have been reimbursed the Tarvis on no money either. But Achrai is the Demi Lekibel? If he's the one, he never meant, it was never understood that even if I myself would protest, that you're out of the money of the Tarvis on no. Let us see Rashi. Achrai is the Nafshe. Im Yavoi hu v'ya'arer din hu shi'ach shalom oisef. Did he mean to say that if I protest, I won't have to pay back the Tarvis HaNoah? If my mother protests, I won't have to pay back the Tarvis HaNoah. But if I protest, I will have to give you back the money. Now Rashi adds, Unehei nami dechoyz b'mechir sakarka. And now Rashi brings up that inyan that we touched on before. Is the actual mechir of the karka for the ksuba, does that go into effect? So Rashi says, no, that wouldn't go into effect at all. Why? Even though the karka can be taken back. Why? The ain automak nedovish leizacha boy, a person cannot give to somebody else to acquire, to make an acquisition, if he himself has not yet been able to acquire it for himself. It's to him, it's loy bol oilam. It's not here in the world yet. Kidisanya, like we learned in a brayse above Metzia. Ma, if a person said, ma she'irish me'aba mochalach, I'm selling you what I will eventually inherit from my mother, my father, loy amar klum. That's like saying nothing. So what Rashi is saying here is that in the whole sugya, the mechira of the karka for the ksuba doesn't go into effect. Because he had no right to sell something which he didn't own yet. He didn't his father's alive now, his mother's alive yet, he hasn't yarshened anything. The question over here in the Gemara is, does he have to pay back the money of the Toivus Hanoh? So if his mother would have protested, then he stated categorically that I'm selling it to you without a chrayus, and you're not going to get back, you're not going to get back your Toivus Hanoh. But since it's speaking about over here where Mashi Irish me Abra Mochaloch, the halacha is that loy Omar Klum. Here our question is about the money. The mother didn't protest. The question was about the son himself protesting. So Rava disagreed with Rami Rachom, and Rava held that the son cannot protest and then expect not to pay the Toivus Hanoh. Here he must pay the Toivus Hanoh. Had the mother protested, there would not have been a Toivus Hanoh. Now that the son is protesting, he must pay the Toivus Hanoh, but the karka would never be nikna to the lekech anyway for the ksuba, because he was selling something that was loyla. And now Rashi adds that we have to understand how this compares to another case. V'holoi dam yilagoizel soda umachra. If somebody sold a field that was really stolen, he didn't own the field, and he sold it to someone else. And then he took it back from the original owners. He bought it. What is the first one selling to the second one? Everything that comes to his hand. In other words, he will have to give the property over to the person that he sold it to originally. This karka that originally wasn't even his. So Rashi wants to know, why do we say in our case here that the karka for the ksuba does not go to the lekeach because the son didn't own it yet? Over there in that case, the moicher didn't own it yet. And yet when the moicher himself buys it, then we say that that karka goes over to the original lekeach. Why is that case different? And Rashi makes a difference. The hasam lachadafka de tarach abasra v'zavna. Since he went to the tircha, he went to the trouble to purchase it from the person that really owned it to begin with, and then he sold it v'zavna kehechel lekem emnusa im lekeach. He wants to be considered trustworthy with the person that he originally sold it to. So that's why we say when he bought it, he meant to sell it. Avol nafel loy beYerusha, Amrin haHasam Yerusha Memelu huveloy Tarach lamekem emnusa v'chazir b'mechirasoi u'machzer hamoyz. But the Gemara there itself makes a difference between buying something or a Yerusha where you don't have to do any work. So here, where the son eventually winds up and gets the karka for the ksuba, since he didn't put any effort into it, so there we don't say that he wants to remain an honest person and sell the actual karka to the lekeach. So therefore we say that the mechira is not good. So what Rashi basically is saying is that if somebody sells karka that he doesn't own, and later he buys it from the person who really owns it, then we say he meant to give it over to the person that he sold it to. He wants to be a trustworthy person, and that's why he went to the tircha of purchasing it, and subsequently he wants it actually to be sold. Whereas in our Gemara over here, where he's only getting it by Yerusha from his mother, the karka for the ksuba, and it was loy bol oilam, it wasn't here yet, he never meant to sell it to the lekeach, he really didn't mean it, the mechir is not chal, however, if he's the one who's doing the protesting, he has to pay the money back. Now, Tosfos here in Divrei HaMaskil, the Zavna L'Ksuba, brings up this question of Dovrish Leibali Adam. How could he sell something that is not his? And Tosfos says that we have to say, Tosfos understands that the Gemara here is speaking about whether the mechir of the karka for the ksuba is good or not. And Tosfos says, when does the Gemara in Bava Metzia say lo yomer klum? That's only if he said it's stam. He didn't say which field. But if he said this field, which I'm going to acquire, then a kinyan is possible. Tosfos says it's difficult to say that our Gemara is going according to the Mandi Omer, who holds that you could give over something that is not yet here in the world, because we paskin la'alacha that ain't not a makna dover shloi bali adam, that you cannot be kona or be makna, acquire or give over for acquisition something that is not yet here in the world. So Tosfos says the reason why it works in our Gemara is because he specified this field that I'm going to get for my mother's ksuba, and then it works. However, Tosfos says that number one, according to the way Rashi learns, there's no proof. Because Rashi told us that in fact, the mechira of the karka for the ksuba will not take effect. It's a case of Yerusha, and there we don't say that he meant to give over the karka. The whole question of our Gemara is whether you have to pay the money of Tovas Hanoah. And Rami Bar Chama said you don't, and Rava said that if he's the one who's protesting, not like in the case of the mother protesting, where he wouldn't have to pay the money, when he's protesting, you do have to pay the money. The whole question of our Gemara is on the Tovas Hanoah money. According to Rashi, it's not a question of the karka. The karka, the mechira is not chal, doesn't work because it's loibali oil. And then Tosfos says that according to Rashi's second pshat, then for sure it's not a proof from here to the Yesod, which Rabbeinu Tam wants to say, that if you specify which field you're going to give, even if it isn't here yet, it is chal. Why? Because Rashi's second pshat, let's see the Rashi inside, we're in the middle of that big Rashi, Achrayis the Nafshe. So Rashi, four lines before it gets wide, says, Lashon Acher, another pshat in our whole Gemara, Dizdavna l'ksubasa d'imei b'tavisano, he sold his mother's ksuba b'tavisano, what's the case? Sada she'ichet aviv l'imei l'ksubasa, the father was specified, this is the piece of property that I'm designating to pay out your mother's ksub, umes, the father died, v'nachlu nechasim lefnei zeh, and all of the property of the father fell in front of the son. V'chol zman shalai amda bedin, as long as the mother hasn't asked from the son that he should pay her ksuba, imachra zeh hamecher kayim, then the mecher, if he sold, is good. V'ein yachal achzer, he cannot get out of this mechira, sh'are yoyrishu, he inherited all the properties from his father. V'chol anachasim lefonav, all the properties are his. Ela shechayiv, l'asik suba l'ima, kishat tivena. When she asks him to pay his ksuba, then he's obligated to pay from the property that was designated. And it was this very property that he sold. V'asadizu shibuda muto. This is, on this field, there is a shibud. V'hi yichol l'tar from yad l'kech. She's able, if she wants to, grab it from the l'kech. U'mishum d'amalei hai, i'esye ime u'ma'ar lo'y mefetzin l'ach, v'tavset mo'yisecha, lo'y machar al b'davar mo'ot. Since the deal was that if my mother decides that she wants to claim her ksuba, which is rightfully hers, and she has a shibud on this specific karka that I'm selling to you, you're going to lose out all your money. So he sold it. That's why he sold it for Tovas Hanoah, for his very cheap amount. According to this pshat in the Gemara, the Tosfos says that, of course, has nothing to do with Dover Shloi Bali Oilam, because, in fact, he had acquired through inheritance, through Yerusha, all the property from his father. He was selling this specific field at a very cheap rate for the person to take a gamble. Would the mother come to collect her ksuba, or would she not? And if she's going to try to collect her ksuba, if she will protest the sale, then I will lose even my Tovas Hanoah. What happened was the son protested the sale. And on that, there was the machlokes. Rami Bar Chama says that he's able to do it and he does not have to pay the Tovas Hanoah. And Rava said, no, he has to pay the Tovas Hanoah because he never meant to exempt himself from Tovas Hanoah if we're speaking about this particular karka where he himself is protesting, but it has nothing to do with Darvish Shloim Eliyolam, because the son, in fact, in the case, the second case of Rashi, has acquired this field through Yerusha because his father died. Continues the Gemara with the fifth word in the Siman, Yaakov. We are going to have a case here which involves the name of Yaakov. And again, this Inyan is brought down because we're going to find another machlokus between Rami Bar Chama and Rava. Amir Rami Bar Chama, Reuven, Shemach HaSadah L'Shimon, Shalai Bach Reis. If Reuven sold the field to Shimon and he takes no responsibility for it, Rashi says that whoever grabs it from your hands, even Bedin, I'm not going to give you back the money. V'asa Shimon, and then Shimon went ahead, Umachro L'Reuven. He sold it back to Reuven, the original Meicher. And he sold it back Bachrayas, saying that whoever will take it from you, I will make sure that you get repaid. As we turn to the Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph, the also Bachayiv the Reuven, and then there was a lien on this field which predated the sale of Reuven to Shimon. The Katar Vleiminei, and he grabbed it from Reuven. So Reuven had sold it to Shimon. Shimon had sold it to Reuven. Reuven sold it to Shimon without Achrayas, and Shimon sold it to Reuven with Achrayas. And now, ironically, the Balchoiv of Reuven, as Rashi says, he had a shtar which preceded the original Mechira of Reuven to Shimon. So now he comes to Reuven, and he wants to collect his chov. So the question is, does Shimon have to pay Reuven because Shimon sold it to him with Achrayas? The Gemara says, Dinu hu da'azul Shimon mefatzile. So Rami bar Chameshita is that Shimon has to go. Since he accepted Achrayas that he would repay Reuven if he would lose this field, and he has to save it for him, meaning he has to pay him for his loss. That's Rami bar Chameshita. And Rashi says, just like if Shimon had sold this to another person with Achrayas, and the Balchayv of Reuven would have come and grabbed it away from that third person, so then the din would be that Shimon would have to make good on it. So the same thing, if the person happens to be Reuven, and the Balchayv happens to be Reuven's Balchayv, but since you, Shimon, said that you were Mekabel Achrayas, so therefore, you have to pay Shimon, you have to pay Reuven, and Reuven doesn't have to pay you anything because Reuven sold it to you without any achrayas, without responsibility. However, Rava disagrees. Amalei Rava, nehei d'achrayas d'alma kibolei. You're right that Shimon accepted upon it himself. If anybody else in the world, not having to do with Reuven, would make claim on this field and somehow Alpidin take it away from Reuven, then you would make good on it. But Achrayas d'nafshei mikibalei, there was no understanding that if the lien is from Reuven himself, that Shimon is being mekabel Achrayas. Shimon meant to tell Reuven, I'll sell it to you back, and I'll make good if anybody else, not stemming from you, is ma'orer on the field. But if it's coming from you yourself, on that I wasn't mekabel Achrayas. That's the understanding. So Rava disagrees with Rami Bar Chama. He does not have to pay him. Umoide, Rava continues the Gemara. Rava agrees to Rami Bar Chama in the following case. But Reuven, sheyirish sadeh miYaakov. If Reuven inherited a field from his father Yaakov, umachro l'Shimon, and he sold it to Shimon, shaloi b'achrayas, without any guarantee. V'asa Shimon, and then Shimon went back, umachal Reuven, he sold it to Reuven, be'achrayas, with a guarantee that if somebody takes it away from you, I will pay you for your loss. V'asa Shimon, umachal Reuven, be'achrayas. V'asa Balchoiv, and then the Balchoiv came, the Yaakov, the father, Reuven's father, Yaakov. His Balchoiv came, v'katar v'lemine, and he took away from Yaakov's son Reuven, Dinu who the din is, Rava would be mutter to Rami Bar Chama, to Azul Shimon, that Shimon has to go, Umefatz Lemine, he has to save it for Reuven, because he was Mekabel Achrayas. My time, what's the reason? Because Balchov di Yaakov ki Balchov di Almadami. Yaakov's Balchov is the same like it would be somebody else's Balchov. In other words, what would be the din if it would not be Yaakov, but rather Reuven had bought this field originally from Levi, And then Reuven sold it to Shimon without a chrize, and Shimon sold it back to Reuven with a chrize. And then Levi's Baal Chov would have come and taken the field away from Reuven. Then, of course, Shimon would have made good on that. So, Hu Adin, if it is Yaakov, although he is the father of Reuven, says Rashi, we do not say Lo Yamrinen de Reuven Kara Davuahu, Rashi says. We don't say that Reuven is the foot of his father. In other words, he's Bro Kara Davuah. It says he's in the stead of his father. And if he's instead of his father, it's considered as if it's the Balchov of Reuven himself, and therefore that Shimon never meant to make up for a Balchov of Reuven, and this is tantamount to being a Balchov of Reuven, since Reuven is instead of his father, Yaakov. I don't say that. I say it's considered as if it is the Balchov of Levi, and the Balchov of Levi is, and Reuven bought it from Levi. But it's not Reuven's Bachoy. When does Rav argue in Rami Bar Chama when it's Reuven's Bachoy? That Shimon never meant to cover. But if it's the Bachoy of Levi from whom Reuven bought it, that even Rav would be moited that Shimon has to cover it. And if it's the Bachoy of Yaakov, the father of Reuven, that's as if it's a Bachoy of a third party Levi, and Shimon does have to cover it. And I don't say that it's considered that it's a Balchoiv directly of Reuven himself. The next word of the Siman on Daf Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis is Zokav, someone who converted a payment that he was supposed to make into a loan. We're bringing this case in because, again, Rami Bar Chama is going to say a din. This time Rava does not argue on Rami Bar Chama, but he's going to give a very clever strategy on concerning the halacha of Rami Bar Chama. Begins the Gemara, Ami Rami Bar Chama, Reuven Shemachar sold to Shimon Bachrayas. Reuven sold a field to Shimon with Achrayas, that if somebody takes it away from Shimon, he will repay Shimon. And Shimon did not have money to pay for the actual Mechira. V'zokav olav b'milva. So he converted, here's the word zokav, he converted this transaction into a loan. I am buying the field from you, and I write you a shtar, an IOU, for the purchase value of the field. Umeis Reuven. And Reuven died. Now, if it is taken away from Shimon, there's a chrayas on it, and then Reuven or his estate will owe to Shimon. Meanwhile, Shimon has an IOU for the whole mechira to Reuven. So Reuven died. V'asu b'alchoyv de Reuven, and the b'alchoyv of Reuven came, v'katorv la mi Shimon, and he wanted to grab it away from Shimon, which he has a right to do. Ufaisei bezuzei, so what did Shimon do? He placated him with money. He said, I'll pay the loan that Reuven owes you, and I'll keep the field. Now, normally, had this not been with Achrayas, If Reuven owed the Baal Chayv and Shimon owes money to the estate for the whole Mechira, he should have paid the Yisoimim and he should not have paid Reuven's Baal Chayv, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta. However, he rationalized Shimon that since there's a chrayas on this whole transaction, if I pay the Balchoyv of Reuven and I'm able to keep my field, for the fact that I paid, I have a chrayas and I'll get repaid from the estate. Now, what is the din? Dinahu, the Amrulei B'nei Reuven, the din is, says Rami Bar Chama, that B'nei Reuven can say to Shimon, you owe us for the purchase of this field. Why? Anan metaltli shavik avuch gaboch. Our father left by you metaltlin, meaning he left by you your responsibility to pay the loan. Because you had converted it, zakav alav b'milva. You had converted the purchase price, which you should have paid, into a loan. That is metaltlin. So as far as we're concerned, we were protected. The Balchoiv could never have collected from us. We don't have any karka. The only thing that you can collect from the Yisroelim is karka to take care of the loan. And we didn't have karka. What did we have by you? We had this loan, which is metaltalin, which he again cannot collect from. So he couldn't have touched us at all. The only thing is that there was a shibud on the karka to the balchov. There was a lien on it. And therefore, you took your own money to protect your karka, which you didn't want to give up to the balchov. So you're asking us now that we should repay you because there was a chrayus. Our father had taken responsibility that if you have to pay, if the karka is taken away from you, he will repay you. The only problem is that by you paying the money, and now you're asking us to repay you, that again is not karka, that's metaltalin. And the Gemara continues, so we are indebted to you because we have to make good on our father's promise that he's going to sell it to you, b'achrayus, who will take responsibility to pay you. Good. So we have a debt to you. And we don't have any karka. So our metaltalin are not meshubit to this new debt. But you still owe us for the purchase price. You never paid that for us. So we don't have to pay you, but you have to pay us because you shouldn't have paid the, you shouldn't have given away the money to the Balchoiv. So it comes out, Rami Bracham is saying that the Yisoyimim can say to him, pay us our loan. What about us having to pay you back for the Achrayas? We don't have to pay you back because that will be a new loan from us to you. And on Metaltlin, which is all that we have, you cannot collect your, the loan that we owe you. Amar Rava says, Rava, now comes a clever strategy. If Shimon is a clever man, he'll say, okay, I'll pay you for the original purchase price of the field. He'll pay it with land. And now that the Yisraelim have land, now he can get back his achrayas, his security. You promised, your father promised that if I get shortchanged that he will pay me back. And what was your whole reason why you didn't want to pay? Because you don't have any karka. But now it comes out that your father's estate did have karka in it. You did, Yarshin, you did inherit some karka because I paid you back the loan that I owed you in karka. And now that you have karka, I can collect my loan that you owe me from that karka. Kirav Nachman, where do we find this principle? We find a precedent from Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Baravua, Yisoyimim shegavu karka b'chayvus avien. If Yisoyimim collected karka as a repayment for a chov, for a debt that was owed to their father, bal chov, if they have a bal chov, which in our case will be the person that the karka was sold to, because they he has a chrayis on it, and they owe him that because he paid money to keep his karka, otherwise it would have been taken away from him. Choyzer v'goyv oisamehend, and that bal choyv, in our case, the lekeach, can go and collect it back from them, because now they do have karka. Now the estate did have some land in it from which a bal choyv can collect because he has a lien on it. So if he's smart, he won't pay them with money, he'll pay them with karka, and then he'll be right away able to recollect that karka to make good on what the Yisomim owe him. The Gemara continues with the seventh word in the Siman, Sedaisav, his field. We're again going to speak about a Balchoiv collecting from the fields. We're going to get into Idius, Beninus, and Ziburius. There are three kinds of fields, the superior one, the Idius, the average one, the Beninus, and the inferior one, which is the Ziburis. A Balchov normally collects from the Beinonis, the average one. Omer Rabba, said Rabba, Reuven Shemacher calls Sadoisav, and here's the word of the Simon Sadoisav, Reuven who sold all his fields Lushimon, V'chazer Shimon u'machar sada achas Levi, and Shimon turned around and sold one of those fields to Levi. V'asa balchoiv de Reuven, and the balchoiv of Reuven came. And now the question is, from where should he collect his debt? Ratza mizegoy v'ratza mizegoy. He can collect either from Shimon or from Levi. And the Gemara, in a few moments, is going to specify exactly when he can collect from either Shimon or Levi. Now, Rashi tells us that when Reuven sold all his fields to Shimon, he did it on one day in one, with one shtar. And why does Rashi say that? Because had he sold it to Shimon, one field one day, and another field the next day, and another field the third day, etc., and it wasn't all at one time. So Rashi says that if Shimon had sold a field to Levi before he had purchased all the fields from Reuven, so Levi could say the famous rule of Ein Nefrom and Chasim Meshubadim B'Makim Sheyesh B'nei Chayrin, that you can, the Baal Chayiv cannot collect from property which had been sold when there is still B'nei Chayrin, when there is property at the original site, the original Baal Chayiv, the original person who owes money, he still has property from where the Baal Chov can collect. We don't go and collect the Chov from the Lokeach. So the Shimon could use this, excuse me, Levi could use this thinking and say, don't come to me. The Gemara is trying to say that you can Ratzmi Zegoiva, Ratzmi Zegoiva, but Levi could say, don't come to me because I left over property by Reuven, which had not yet been sold to Shimon, so it was still in a status of B'nai Chorin. It was not sold property, it still was by the original Love, and don't come to me. That's Rashi Shita. Therefore, it had to be speaking about Reuven sold it all at one time, and therefore, when Levi sold, bought one of those fields, the Baal Chayiv now can go to either Shimon or Levi. However, Tosas disagrees on the first wide line of the Tosas at the bottom of the Amud. Tosas says, "Loin nehiru l'Rebbe." Dematzi Shimon l'meimer. Shimon could say, "My time on Rabbanan ain't from the Chasam Shabbatam Makom Sheish Bnei Chayiv Sham Bnei Chayiv." Why did the Rabbanan make enact this din? Vafilahein Zeburius, and even if what's left over is Zeburius. The din is that even though a Baal Chayiv collects from Bainus from average, but that's only if there's nothing left over by the original Lova. But if the original Lova still has property, even that, even if it's the worst property, you have to collect from the Bnei Chayiv. But what's the reason the Rabbanan made that Takana? That was for the purpose of Shimon. Here, Shimon can say, I don't want that Takana, because now that Takana works against me, to my detriment, because now Levi, using that Takana, can say, don't come to me. Who do you go to? You have to go to the one who has all the property now, which is Shimon. But don't come to me, because when I bought, there was still B'nai Chorin. So in the case where this Takana will backfire, and it will be to the detriment of Shimon, Shimon can say, I don't want the Takana to begin with. And Mimela, Tosas disagrees with Rashi, and Tosas says that even if it was more than one shtar, it was bought on a few different days, and when Levi had bought it from Shimon, there was still property that Shimon had not yet bought from Reuven. There was still B'nai Chayrin. It doesn't matter. The halacha will be, in certain circumstances, as we're going to learn right now, that Ratzim Izek, Goyver Ratzim Izek, he could either collect it from Shimon or he could collect it from Levi. Now, when is that? Says the Gemara, four lines from the bottom of the Amud, V'lo Yamarin El Dezovna Beinanis. When do we say that that's only if Levi bought Beinanis? Avozovni it is Zeburis. If Levi bought either Idis or Zeburis, Matsi Armalei, he could say to Shimon, Lahachi Tarchiv Zvina Arad Chazilach. He could say this to the Baal Chayiv. And a message could get through to Shimon also. Don't come to me, because that's why I left over Bainanus property. That's why I bought Bedafka. idius or zeburis, which is not the regular property from which a bal chov collects. I was protecting myself. So you can only collect from Levi if he didn't protect himself. But if Levi bought only idius or zeburis, which is not where the bal chov would normally collect from, he's protecting himself, and then you cannot go to Levi. Who will the bal chov have to go to? He'll have to go to Shimon. Ubainin, this nami loyamorin, and even when Levi bought Bainin, this, when do I say that the bal chov can go to Levi? That's only loyamorin, el loyshavik Bainin, the kavasa. That's only if he did not leave over similar Bainin for Shimon. Avol, as we turn to Dav, Tzadik Beis Amid Beis, Shavak Beninus the Kavasa. If he left over Beninus, Matzi Amale, he could say to the Baal Chayv, Hinachti Loch Makam Ligvayse Manu, I left you over a place from where you could collect, and what do you normally collect? You normally collect Beninus, I left that over, again, I protected myself. So the only time you can go to Shimon, it's a Levi, is if Levi didn't protect himself, meaning he did not buy Idius and Zeburius, he left over, he bought Beninus, and he didn't leave over Beninus. He left over Idius or Zeburius, so then he wasn't protecting himself, he was setting himself up for the Baal Chayv to come and say, hey, I want to collect from where I'm supposed to collect, which is Beninus. That's the only time you can collect from Beninus. But if he protected himself by either buying Idius or Zeburius, or even if he bought Beninus by leaving over Beninus, then you cannot collect from Levi. Now Rashi, on Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph, the bottom Rashi, tells us that how does it work when he didn't protect himself, and Ratzim Yizeh Goyv, you can collect from either Shimon or Levi. So Rashi says that it's speaking about that Levi bought from Shimon Beninus, and the Shibud, the lien of the Baal Chov, is on Beninus. He did not leave over Beninus by Shimon. So then the Baal Chayv has a choice. He can either go to Shimon, says Rashi, and get Idius, because he could say to Shimon, you bought all the fields from Reuven, so now you entered instead of Reuven. You are in his stead, and the Shibud of my Chayv goes on all your fields. And as long as I can find property that Reuven owned that now is by you, I'll go to you, and I'm not going to be Matriach Levi. So according to Rashi, if there's Idius by Shimon, he wouldn't even go to get his normal Beninus from Levi. There are Rishonim, the Ritva, and others who disagree with Rashi and say that the Ratzim Yizeh Goyve, he can only collect from Shimon Zeburius, but he cannot collect Idius. That's not what the Baal Chayv can collect from. Baal Chayv collects always from Beninus. So they disagree with Rashi. Then Rashi continues and says that he can go to Levi as well. For example, if he only finds by Shimon Zeburius, then he can say, I want to go to Levi and get my Iker, the main place where my Shibud is Chal, is from Beninus. You have the Beninus, Levi. You didn't protect yourself. Then I want to go ahead and collect from you. And now Rashi says, even though if a Baal Chov comes to Reuven and Reuven has Zeburius, and he's the one who made the original loan, the din is, as we learned before, ein nefram and chas mishubadim b'makom sheish b'nei chayrin, even if the b'nei chayrin are ziburis. But Levi cannot say the same thing. Rashi's asking why, when the Baal Chayv comes to Shimon, he finds Zeburius. He says, no, I don't want Zeburius. I want to go to Levi and get my Beninus. Why can't Levi say, just like if Reuven would have Zeburius, you'd have to get the Zeburius from Reuven. So now if Shimon has Zeburius, you should get the Zeburius from Shimon. No, says Rashi, because Shimon and Levi are on the same level. They're not the ones who had the original B'nai Chayrin. That would have been Reuven. By Reuven, there's a din, ain't the from, in the chas mishubanim, but makash eish b'nei chayrim, that you can't go to the lekuchos, you can't go to the purchasers, if the original, lender, if the original borrower had, still property, even if that property is Zeburius. But in terms, now that you're not going to Reuven, Reuven sold all his fields, you're going to Shimon or Levi, then Shimon and Levi are on the same level. You're going to grab from either Shimon or you're going to grab from Levi. They were not the ones dealing with the Bnei Chorin. That was only Reuven. So when it comes to that choice of Shimon and Levi, according to Rashi, if Shimon has Idias, I'll go to Shimon. And if Shimon has Zeburius, I'll go to Levi, and Levi has to give me the Beninus, because the Halach of Bnei Chorin is not said by Shimon. The Halach of Bnei Chorin was only said by the original Lova, which is Reuven, and therefore I have a right to collect, since Levi didn't protect himself, I have a right to collect either from Reuven, from Shimon, or I have a right to collect from Levi. The next word in the siman is devorim, and we'll see this in the case when the Gemara speaks about lav bal devorim de diat. Amar Abaye, Reuven shemachar sada l'Shimon b'achrayis. Again, we're discussing a case of selling a field with security, that if somebody takes it away from you, I will make sure to repay you for your loss. V'yosu bal choyv de Reuven v'katar v'laminei, and the bal choyv Reuven came and grabbed it away from him. From Shimon, Dina, who the din is, the Ozel Reuven, the Reuven can go, Umifatzla, he can save it on behalf of Shimon, as Rashi says. For example, he can go to the Baal Choyv and say, you're taking this field away because I owe you money, but you also owe me money, and it cancels out. Or that he could say, swear to me, Rashi says, Deloy Paratikha, swear to me that I didn't pay you. I claim I paid you this loan up, and I don't owe it to you anymore. You have no right to take it away from Shimon. Now, V'loy Matzi Armale Lav Baal Devorim D'Diat, continues the Gemara. Here's the word Devorim. He cannot say to Baal Chayv, what are you mixing in? You've already sold this to Shimon, and I'm dealing with Shimon. I don't want to deal with you. He cannot say that you have no words with me. I do have words with you, says Reuven. Why? Mishum d'amar lei, because Reuven can say to the Baal Chayv, d'mafkes minei, if you will be successful, according to the Din Torah, to extricate the field from Shimon, alai hoder, it's going to come back on me. Shimon's going to come back on me to me and say, hey, you owe me this b'achrayis. So therefore, I have a right to intervene here and try to save it for Shimon. Ve'ikka d'yamri, and some say, afilu shaloi b'achrayis nami. Even if I sold you a field and I am not taking a guarantee over it, I will not, if somebody takes it away from you, I will not pay you for it. I can still intervene on your behalf. To Omar Lei, I can say, Reuven can say to the Baal Choyv, Lo Nichali, I do not want to have a Leila Shimon Tarumas Lei, that Shimon should have ill feelings against me. Tosvis Divrei Maskil Dina, who asked the question that what's the nafkamina, whether Reuven will go to Bezdin about this case or Shimon? They both will say the same time, is why is it better if Reuven intervenes on Shimon's behalf or Shimon intervenes on his own behalf? And Tosvis says you cannot say it, speaking about a case where there are Edim and the Edim are related to Shimon and therefore they can't testify on Shimon's behalf, but they could testify on Reuven's behalf because they're not related to him. So Tosfos says no, that they would not be able to say Edus for Reuven, even though they're not related to Reuven, because since if Reuven wins the case, it'll come out there is a benefit for Shimon, to whom they are related, because he would get to keep the land. Therefore, they are possible to say testimony even to Reuven, and Tosfos brings a proof to this from the Gemara Makkos Dav Zayin, where we had Ilo and Tuvia were relatives of the person who was an Orev, the guarantor of the loan, and Rav Papara was of the opinion that since they're not related to the Lova and the Malva, therefore they could testify. So Rav Huna said to him, Rav Huna Brei Rishua said to Rav Papa, what happens if there is no Lova, if the Lova doesn't pay, to whom does the Malva go? He goes to the Orev. So it comes out that the Orev has a benefit if the Lova wins the case. The Malva will not be able to go to the Orev. And therefore, since the Edim are relatives of the Orev, not only cannot they not testify for the Orev, they can't even testify for the Lova, because if the Lova wins, it will come out a benefit for the Orev to whom they are related. The Pnei Yeshua says the difference would be if to the, let's say the Baal Chayiv says, you didn't pay me. The Lova says, Reuven says, I paid you up. So if he says it to the face of Shimon, it's not difficult for him to say, I was not paid this loan. But if he has to say it into the face of Reuven, it may be difficult because he knows that Reuven actually did pay him up the loan. And therefore, there's a difference whether he's saying it to Reuven, whether Reuven's involved in the case or Shimon is involved. Tyson Bavakama says the difference could be a practical one. If Reuven is a tough guy, he's a smart guy, a shrewd operator, and he could say the right things to win the case, and Shimon is a more lackadaisical person and not such a good toein, and he won't be able to defend himself as well as Reuven, and therefore Reuven wants to get involved in the case. Or Tosus here suggests that perhaps Reuven would be believed to say it's mezuyif in certain circumstances, that it's a forgery. He knows what's involved in the loan. Shimon doesn't know anything about the loan. He may not be believed to say it's mezuyif. And therefore, the Rishonim and Achronim give various differences here, whether Reuven will be involved in the case or whether Shimon will be involved in the case. Continues the Gemara with the last of the words of the Siman, Asikin, which means protesters. Amar Abaye, Reuven Shemacher sold to Shimon Shloi Bachrayis. If Reuven sold a field to Shimon without Achrayis, V'yotzalov Asikin, and protesters went out as we turn to Daf Tzadik Gimel Amid Aleph. There were Oirin, as Rashi says, that either there were Bali Choyv who wanted this piece of property, or this was stolen property. So the halach is, actually, hichzik bo yochel lachzer boy. Rashi says it's speaking about over here that he did not pay any money. And also, as the Gemara says here, there was no chazokah. He had not taken any kind of possession of it. And our discussion over here is whether there's Misha Pora, somebody who makes a promise to go into a business deal, he has to keep his promise. Otherwise, there's a curse on him. So we say here that there is no Misha Pora if he has not yet made a chazaka. But Misha Hichzig, and he could have charata, he could get out of the deal. Misha Hichzig, by any Yachal Achzuboy, but once he has made possession of it, as the Gemara tells us in Kedushin, it was Noal Gadar Reports. He made a lock on it, or he made a breach in it, or he made a fence in it. He showed some act of possession. He cannot anymore have Charata, even though he hasn't paid for it yet. Mishum de Amar Lei, because the Moicha can tell him, Chaisa de Kitri Savart Vekibel. You accepted this without a Chrayas. You knew that there's a possibility that it would be taken away from you. So you bought a bag of knots, just like it's difficult to open up and see exactly what's doing in a bag of knots. You didn't know what's going on in this property, and yet you accepted it. You knew it's possible it could be taken away from you. So once you made a chazaka, you cannot have charata. Now, it's speaking about here where there was no achrayis, but if there was achrayis, then this first sheet in the Gemara holds that he does not have to pay. He could back out because we say, don't pay and then later have to get your money back because there's achrayis. Rather, we say, don't pay, walk away from the deal, and then even if there was a chazaka, but he has not yet paid for it, he doesn't have to pay for it. Since there are oirin, we're afraid that he'll lay out the money and then he'll have to get the money back. We tell him you don't even have to lay out the money. You can walk away from the deal. So the whole Gemara over here speaking about, as we learned, ein boy achrayis. And then if there was no kesef and there was no chazaka, there's no problem of a curse of Misha Pora. However, if you made a chazaka, then he cannot back away. Umeimus machzik, but the Gemara says, when is this possession, this chazaka, take effect? Mechidayisha mitzri. Once he walked around the border, Tosfos at the end of the Divrei Maskil, Me'emes have a chazaka, says, Dayisha mitzri, leida ma hitzri. He walks around the borders to see exactly what the property needs. He's showing that he's the owner of the property and he's going to take care of it. Now, there are other Rishonim that disagree with Rashi because they say, why does the Gemara have to find a new inyan of walking around the border? We've learned that anything positive in a field that he does is considered an act of possession. He puts a lock on it. Why was it necessary to look for something new? And why ask altogether when is there chazaka in a field? We know that chazaka is any positive act to show ownership. And therefore, they learn that the Gemara here is speaking about that since there are oirin here, since there are asikin, there are protesters, then even if he made a regular chazaka, the Gemara is not speaking about a regular chazaka. Even if he made a regular chazaka, he made a kinyan, he could still back out of it since there are protesters. The Gemara must be speaking that he made a greater act of possession. He walked around the borders, then we can say to him that you bought a bag full of knots. But if he had not walked around the borders just by the regular chazaka, that would not be enough to commit himself. He could get out of the deal, according to these Rishonim who argue on Rashi. And that's why the Gemara asks, what is the chazaka where he can't get out of the deal, even in the case of protesters? Ikedi Amri, some say, Afilu b'achrayis nami. We were learning the whole sugya from the beginning that's speaking about without achrayis. Because we said that with achrayis, he doesn't have to pay the money just to go and get it back when the protesters take away the field. But some say that even with achrayis, he cannot back out of the deal. He has to pay the money, the omar lay, because the moicher can say to him, just because there's protesters, how do we know the protesters are going to win in the din Torah? Ach ve tirfa, if you can show me a shtar tirfa, if you could show me that the property was legally taken away from you in Bezdin, and the Bezdin gave you a shtar to collect from me what I owe you as a guarantee, then Vashamlach, then I'll pay you. But as long as you don't show me the shtar tirfa, for how do I know that they're going to win in Bezdin? They have a lot of claims. Not everybody who has a claim wins in Bezdin. So I'll pay you when you could prove that it was taken away from you. I suspect that it won't be taken away. I submit that it won't be taken away from you. And until such time that you could prove to me it was taken away from you, I will not pay you. You have to pay me. Once it's taken away from you, then and only then will I pay you.